Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're looking forward to continuing our time of worship. I want to say hello to those joining us in the fellowship hall. We're so happy to have you as a part of our family here this morning, even though you're in a different location. And then, of course, we send out a greeting to all of those joining us online, including our own Crystal Lancaster, or Crystal Bassay, who is in Atlanta right now joining us online. So, Crystal, we miss you, but we're glad that you can join us this morning. All right, well, we're continuing our series on building upon the firm foundation of God's Word. And we're in kind of a little mini-series within the series, building by understanding how it changes me. And this is part two of that. Our text this morning is from Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And then also, Acts chapter 20, verse 32, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. By the way, that's just another phrase that means word of God, the Bible, word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So last week we learned that one of the ways the Bible changes us is by recreating us, or as the Apostle Paul put it, we become new creations in Christ, or we sometimes refer to that as being born again. Secondly, the Word of God eradicates my resentment and my guilt. You know, I've noticed that a lot of people are stuck with painful memories from their past. Maybe you're one of them. Memories that they can't seem to get over. Memories of people who've hurt them, and they have resentment. Or maybe memories of people they have hurt, and they're living with this sense of guilt. Well, this morning, I hope that you know that God doesn't want you going through life carrying the baggage of resentment or guilt. God wants you to be free from those things. Indeed, he wants you to experience abundant life, because these things will weigh you down. And God uses his word to eradicate these things from our lives. He wants you to be free from your past. Some years ago, a young woman came to me because she wanted to accept Christ, but she felt so unworthy. And she began to pour out this really sad story about the bad decisions that she had made in her life. She was distraught. She was weeping at times. She had been with multiple men and had taken advantage of her and abused her. She had had an abortion, and she had just learned that the man that she was currently with was having an affair, was unfaithful. She was sobbing, and she kept saying, "I feel so guilty. I feel so guilty." A friend had invited her to our church, and after attending for a short time, she knew that she needed and wanted Jesus in her life. But she couldn't believe that God could forgive her. I told her that day, "Patty, God has something very important that he wants you to know. And that's why he put it in your heart to come and talk to me today." And so I began to take her through scripture, scripture after scripture, like 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, that verse is basically saying, I'm going to give you a bath. I'm not only going to forgive you, I'm going to make you clean. We're going to get rid of all that dirt in your life. And then I shared with her verses like Romans 8, verse 1, that says, there is now no condemnation, and that means none, nada, zip, zero, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And she says, you mean all those things I've done wrong in my life, God will forgive me? Yes. God's not going to punish me? That's right. And why is that? Because Jesus already took that punishment on the cross. What about all the sins I'll commit tomorrow? Those too. No condemnation yesterday, today, and forever. Let me share with you a couple of verses in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And I think some of you here today will find these verses very encouraging. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. What God is saying here is that when I take his word, the Bible, the word of God, and fill my life and my mind with it, it washes my mind. It washes my body. It washes my heart. It cleanses the dirt, the junk, the grime, the grit, the sin right out of my life. It makes me clean inside. It's a spiritual cleansing so that my guilt and my resentment and the burden of my past is eradicated. Jesus told his disciples, you are already clean. Why? Because of the word I have spoken to you. There's a cleansing power in God's word, because it tells us of the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. When I read and accept and apply it, it removes the resentment and guilt out of my life by teaching me about the truth about God's purpose for my life. So the Word of God can, number one, recreate my life, and number two, it can eradicate my resentment and guilt. Thirdly, it activates my faith. The Word of God not only leads me to salvation by becoming a new creation in Christ and being born again, it eradicates my resentment and guilt, and it also activates my faith. And this is so important, because faith gives me confidence. Do you know what I've discovered? Most people are not very confident. Most people are not naturally very courageous. Most people, in fact, are flat out scared to death, really. They are paralyzed by their fears. They're afraid to take risks. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of dying. They're filled with all kinds of fears. They're not walking confidently because they are not people of faith. And it's not that they don't have enough faith. I mean, the Bible says that faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. So no, it's not that we need more faith. It's that we need to activate the faith that we already have. And faith is word activated. It's activated by the word of God. It's kind of like when you get that credit card in the mail. There's a little sticker on it. And you have to call a number to activate that card before it will work. Or maybe, you know, when you get a new cell phone, you get it all set up, but it has to be activated before it will work. And our faith needs to be activated. The Bible says faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard or activated through the word of Christ, through the word of God. Faith is activated by the word of God. And by the way, the word of Christ and the word of God, again, those are the same thing. They are synonymous. If you've ever read a verse in the Bible and all of a sudden it hits you that you're thinking, I can do this. I think I can do this. Your faith has just been activated. If you've ever been in a service or a Bible study and you've heard the word of God, and all of a sudden you see how this can apply to your life, you've just had your faith activated. And this is the difference between the Bible and self-help books. Now, there are a lot of good self-help books out there, and often they tell you some good stuff. They can tell you the right thing to do. They just can't give you the power to do it. Those books aren't living like the Bible, like the Word of God. They're not alive. But the unique thing about God's Word is that it not only tells you what to do, but it gives you the power to do it. And that increases your faith. When you're going through a tough time, you really want to hear from God. You need to hear from God. In some of my darkest days, I have longed to hear from God. And in those challenging and difficult times, I was forced to my knees. I was forced into His Word with greater fervency. I read it day and night. Nothing else was important because I wanted to hear from God. I needed to hear from God. I needed my faith activated. And as I read God's Word, especially in times like that, I found myself gaining more and more courage, more and more strength, gaining more and more confidence. But my confidence isn't in myself. It's not self-confidence. It's confidence in Christ and His Word and His promises. Again, that's not self-confidence. That's Christ confidence. I'll never forget that soon after I became a pastor, I became overwhelmed with my new responsibilities and my enthusiasm to save the whole world. It just pushed me beyond my limits. I was a new pastor, I was a new daddy, and I hadn't learned to pace myself. And every person who had a need in my congregation or community, I wanted to be there for them. I wanted to be Johnny on the spot. I'd drop everything and be there, all the while working on my seminary degree. My days would often start at 5 in the morning and rarely end before midnight or 1 a.m. And it all came to a head when I was faced with doing a funeral for a 2-month-old baby. I think the reason it hit me so hard was because Brandon was 2 months old at the time. And I was emotionally a wreck. I nearly had a nervous breakdown. One of the passages in the Bible that activated my faith in that hour is in the book of Exodus in chapter 23. God is talking to Joshua, Moses' successor. When Moses died, Joshua was given the task of leading the nation of Israel into the promised land, into battle to seize the promised land. They had to cross the Jordan River into Israel, and there were giants in the land. They would encounter enemies there that appeared to be giants living in that land. And Joshua thought to himself, I can't do this. I'm inadequate. He had all kinds of excuses why he couldn't succeed, why he was sure to fail. And God says to Joshua, Joshua, you know these enemies you're facing? You're right. They are bigger than you. But you don't have to conquer the whole land all at once. You're going to take it little by little, a little bit at a time, one battle at a time. And with each battle, your faith will grow stronger and stronger. Then when you're strong enough to handle it all, you'll get it all. You'll get all the blessings and the strength I intend for you. But you're not going to get them all at once. It's going to happen over time. One of the things that I've learned over the years of my not just being a pastor, but just being a Christian, is that it is important to have a history with God. And it's often that history with God that also serves to activate our faith. You see, David was able to slay Goliath because he had had a history with God. He had seen how God had worked in the little things and then the little bit bigger things in his life, so that when he faced a really big thing in his life, he had that history that gave him confidence, that activated his faith. Daniel's the same way, and there's so many others. Daniel, before he ever faced those lions in the lion's den, had already experienced a history with God, and he had seen how God had been faithful in his life and how he could trust God. And so when the time came, he was prepared because he had had that history with God. And you too don't have to accomplish everything God wants you to accomplish with your life in the first year that you become a Christian, or maybe even the first couple of years. You're going to You're going to spend the rest of your life serving Jesus. And you may not enter the promised land till you've been a Christian a long time. And it will happen in His time, at His pace. And that gave me confidence because the Word of God activated my faith. This time we're going to sing our closing hymn. It's number 255. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, the hymnals are in the chairs in front of you there if you'd like to follow along and read the music. The words will also be on the screen as well, but I know some of you have missed having the hymnals here so that you can follow along. We'll be doing verses 1 and 2. Would you be free from the burden of sin? Let's stand together as we sing.